meet him, Lord, now. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, buddy. Thank you. I don't know if there's any country and western fans here tonight. Is there? Give me a wave. I fell asleep once listening to country and western music. I woke up with a Czech shirt, a taste of whiskey in my mouth, and slightly racist. But that's only a joke. I actually appreciate all kinds of music, and it's a joke. And I do, I appreciate all kinds of music, and I actually like the way within country music, the musicians, it's not just country music, it's folk music as well, they tell a story. It wasn't even that funny! They tell a story, and obviously the title from tonight comes from quite a famous country and western song. It's been covered by a number of people. I was going to give you the sound clip from Jim Reeves, but I thought, because of the problems we had in the morning service, instead I would just read the first few verses. Right. Shut up, all of you. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And I guess tonight's message comes from two places. Particularly, it was Genesis 46 that I've been kind of looking at this week. But earlier on in the week, I went to the Priory, and there was a lecturer there, a woman called Elaine Stokely, who some of you may know. She's a theologian, and she had a lecture entitled "The Death of Christianity Within the West," and she was looking at the statistics from the last census, which I think was 2011. She was also looking at statistical material from Tearfund, who've conducted one of the biggest studies in church attendance and evangelicalism in recent times, and multiple other different things. And there were some discouraging statistics, actually. There were some encouraging things, too. But one of the most discouraging things is those who know a church-going Christian, have not been invited to church by that church-going Christian. Obviously, that's not you guys. That's the church down the road. And those who know a church-going Christian cannot identify any positive difference it makes for them or the people around them. It's pretty bad, guys. In fact, 60% plus said that of the Christians they knew, they thought that Christianity, that's not true, this second statistic, of the people they knew who were religious, they would say 60%+ that religion did more harm than good. So I thought what we would do is look at how we can live distinctly Christian life, and it's my belief that the distinctively Christian life, you know, the worship-driven life or the purpose-driven life or the Christ-glorifying life is actually something that should be attractive and it should be transformational. Now, when I talk about the world is not my home and I'm just passing through, I guess there's a couple of things I have to do first before I kind of get into the text. I'm not saying that God is going to take this planet and screw it up like a styrofoam cup and throw it away. I'm not saying that. I've come across Christians over the years who deny climate change. They say, look, we need to go and we need to pollute the planet as much as we can because through polluting the planet, we might speed the return of Jesus. Actually, does it not say that we should actually go into all the world and preach the gospel and, inverted commas, that shall speed the return of Jesus as if we can do anything to speed his return? But you know what I'm talking about. God created the earth, and it was good. The Bible said the heavens declare his glory, and the earth declares his handiwork. We should not be people who are anti the environment. We shouldn't be at all. In fact, Revelation says that God would destroy those who destroy the earth. Now, I'm not saying you'll get saved by recycling, okay? I'm not saying that. However, we need to take the issue of climate change seriously. And even if climate change isn't an important topic, like even if some of these fringe nutbags are right and there is no such thing as climate change, let me just tell you, the fact that there are species that are becoming endangered, that there are animals like the blue whale who just are so majestic in their awesomeness and point to a creator, are choking to death on beaches, should actually be a great concern. The other thing I'm not saying is that we shouldn't separate ourselves in the form of like the Amish. And again, I won't show a video. But I'm not saying that when we separate ourselves, it's some sort of like cult-like thing. Like where we become so inwardly looking that we have no concern for the people around us. The interesting thing about the Christian faith, it is deeply missional. The only obstacle to the gospel should be the gospel. It shouldn't be the clothes we wear, shouldn't be the language we use, shouldn't be the food that we eat. And in our Western snobbery, what we have done historically is we have exported a brand and a flavor of Christianity all over the world. That is why when you are in Africa today, you will find like these giant kind of cathedrals and chapels which look like they belong in London or Birmingham or in Wales, where you have priests in sweltering heat wearing dog collars and robes, and why they are singing the exact same songs that we sing but in Swahili. That's globalization, and that's more to do with our Western snobbery. The gospel is able to work in any cultural context. In the same way that Christ bridged the gap between God and us, we are supposed to cross the gap between people outside there and the gospel. Now, there has been a change. Israel was distinct and separate, more so in an external sense. We are separate and distinct more in an internal sense. Christ is our great model, and Jesus said it this way: as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So I just want to clear that up straight off the bat, okay? We're not talking about denying climate change and not working for the environment, and neither are we talking about being separate in some sort of weird kind of Amish type way. So that's probably giving you loads and loads of time to find the passage we're going to read. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 4 of Genesis 46, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 31, then to verse 34. And basically what's happening is Jacob and his family, there are 70 people within this family, they live in rural Canaan, and they are going to go to the sprawling, urban, decadent metropolis that is Egypt, okay? It's kind of like the little country boy going